Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Well, we had an audio problem on the last show, unfortunately. Not on our end, but at Blog Talk Radio's end, apparently. Actually, I listened to the audio to find out where we were at the end of the show, Neil. And it faded out. It was weird. It started fading out, like you could barely hear us, and then the sound died. So I don't know what happened.
After what time?
It was about 22 minutes. So the audio was clear. I just listened to it this morning when we were outside. 22 minutes. It was about 21 something where it started fading and then it just died. I don't know if we're even being heard right now, actually. But hopefully we are. The number to call is 914-338-0164. And we ask that you press 1 to speak with us so we know that you want a reading and aren't just listening. We also invite our callers and our listeners to join us on Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Neil, come over here, and I'm going to call to see if we can be heard, actually. I'm going to call the queue just to make sure we're audible. Speak.
Woof, woof.
Involve yourself in the show.
Oh, wow. Can you hear me?
I'm trying to find out. Talk.
Well, we're testing the show to see if there can be sound heard.
Yeah, there's sound. Okay,
so
we're good.
Sound.
All right, so the
we ain't heard nothing yet.
Okay.
That was Al Jolson, jazz singer. The introduction of sound to movies. You ain't heard nothing yet. Al Jolson.
Do you want to perform it for us?
No, I do not.
Okay.
But I don't know if that was the actual first sound. They say that's the first sound that was in movies. But I'm not
sure. What do
you
mean the first sound that was in?
The first times movies had sound. Yeah, it was quite a phenomena because everything.
You mean
in titles?
Oh, and
silent.
So they—that was the pre.
That was the first time that the movies ever had sound.
Right, but the song they were playing—they played that at the beginning of the movie. What are you talking about?
They didn't play the song.
What
they just—he just said, "You ain't heard nothing yet."
Oh, it's just
he sang the song, "Mammy and Swanee River, How I Love You." He is a jazz singer.
I know.
Movie.
Al Jolson.
Neil Dunn did it later. Like,
what?
Not the best movie. The
oh, the jazz singer?
The jazz singer.
I haven't seen that, of course.
You know, he was going to be a rabbi, and then he decided to...
Neil Diamond?
No.
No. Al Jolson.
That wasn't his real name. It was A. Ballison or something like that. But he decided, no, I want to go into jazz and be a singer. And he started singing in the honky tonks and the small areas and stuff. And then he became like a jazz singer. Now he would be highly criticized because he would do
blackface.
And that's what he was known for. But back then, it wasn't considered, well, I don't know if it was considered, yeah, I guess it was considered prejudicial, but but it was about the soul of music and that kind of thing.
What was it about? Blackface?
Blackface.
Oh.
But, you know, today, very discriminating.
Yeah.
But anyways, that leaps us with a big bullfrog over to Hidden Life.
Right. So the.
And I don't know where we left off.
Well.
You don't need. I mean, 22 minutes.
I know where we left off.
Number, and it isn't that much personal. But.
Personally, between us, significant.
There's a significance to that. But there is a, the movie itself, we were talking about the element of what it is to come into the world and to have a, to have to make a major decision between the earth and the things we love of the earth and the things we cherish, and at times having to make a decision over faith and the consequences of making that decision.
And did I write down his birthday? Yeah. Okay. So we didn't even get to that actually in the last, I mean, we got to it. It just wasn't recorded. So that's where we left off. You actually picked up kind of right where we left off.
I know. I timed it. I did it on purpose. I you know, my psychic abilities was able to tap into where we left off.
Good for you.
And then, too bad we don't have an applause sound effect. We're talking about movies.
Not into doing sound effects.
But so the great decision was had to be made. Where does your faith take you? He had the dilemma, this guy in Austria. He was a farmer. And his little village was having to pledge allegiance to Hitler and the Nazi regime. And he didn't want to because of the atrocities that were already being committed under Hitler's rule and what the further implications were going to mean. And the sense that Hitler was taking over other countries as well. So he didn't agree with it. The villagers said, listen, this is the motherland, and the priest even told him this, you owe an allegiance to the motherland, and you have to do it and cooperate.
That was earlier on.
Then he was urged to, later he was urged to just sign the papers and agree to do it. Who cares? It's just a paper. You can go back to your beliefs later.
Right, because he was sentenced to death. He was sentenced to death in his tribunal, and then he was visited by his wife and a priest, and his lawyer was there. I mean, the lawyer, there was a scene with the lawyer prior to this scene, but this was the final scene where he was given a last opportunity to sign the paperwork, and the priest said, it doesn't matter what you write, it's what's in your soul or your heart that matters. Just sign it. And you'll go free. The lawyer was going out on a limb to try to save this guy from death. But the wife ultimately said, you need to do what is right. Even though that meant sacrificing her husband and the father of her children. And living in the village, really, with dealing with being ostracized by the other villagers and having her children ostracized.
Yeah, and he had to decide, well, if I sign it, it's still an act of saving my soul, my life on earth for the sake of what I cherish on the earth. Or do I go into heaven having committed the final act of faith at a great, great cost? His wife said, look, we could run into the forest, but he said that would be being a coward. And that would be running away from the consequences of what I have to face as a man of faith. You could go into the war and not fight. He just didn't want any part of it. And he said, there's one line to this, and that is, I must be true to my faith and my belief in God and all the principles of God's laws. The wife's greatest sacrifice was, I will support you no matter what you do, even though this was wrenching, horrible pain for everybody involved.
And she actually, you know, she lived until she was 100 years old. She was a 100.
In Austrian, yeah, very.
So that's a long life, and having to live that long with that your husband. I mean, I think they were only married. Well, he died in 1943. I think they were married in like the early 30s. So.
Yeah, they had three children.
They had three children, but anyway, having to live for that many years, 1943 to 2013,
yeah,
without a husband, I don't think she remarried or anything like that.
And then in our discussion,
well,
we
can just discuss
over,
it again.
Well,
we don't
leaped
have to,
over
like,
to
near,
the,
near,
another
summarize.
Sir Thomas More, which was depicted in a play called A Man for All Seasons by Robert Bolt, but Sir Thomas More refused to sign a decree that granted Henry VIII the permission to divorce and marry, and that was Anne Boleyn, and he said that went against the principles of God, and they just said, again, they said to him, just sign the paper, just sign it, don't, you're a great man, you're a great man of faith, just sign it, let the king have his way, and he said, the king does not come before God, and my life here, the consequences of my life here must be judged by God, not by Henry VIII. So he refused to find a decree, and he said this was going against the Catholic Church and putting the king above him. And he said it was all on account of him wanting to marry this woman prior to having a divorce. He refused to do it. He was guillotined. As the other fellow was.
Guillotined.
Just as the other fellow was, the scene we were talking about, the brutality of there was really no brutality per se in the play in Man for All Seasons. Of course, he was beheaded. In the movie, they don't show him being decapitated. They just show the guillotine, a very crude wooden small guillotine, and a man carrying a pail that would ultimately receive his head. There was a scene preceding that you were talking about where the slaughter. You don't see the pig being slaughtered, but you see the
pig hanging
by its hooves back, hind legs.
But and that wasn't captured in the show. So the thing about that is, I was talking about the process of watching the film, and how they were farmers, and in the film they were not killing animals. They had sheep, pigs, goats, ducks, all kinds of animals. And the wife, Francisca, I believe her, Franny, I think she was called in the film, she interacted with the animals in a very gentle manner, very gentle. And all that was shown was them harvesting wheat, picking potatoes, cauliflower, was all vegetables. And I was wondering, this is Austria, they've got to be meat eaters, so what's going on here? But I think the filmmaker chose to depict them harvesting only vegetables and fruit for a reason. We have a caller, 312, we're going to get to you in just a minute. But the scene with the pig was, it was rather startling, I think. Because, I mean, at least to me, was it startling to you? I don't know.
Yeah, it was shocking. I mean, anything like that shocked.
It was an hour and a half into the movie, I think, too.
Yeah,
so it was a 3-hour movie, rather long. But anyway, obviously it was foreshadowing his ultimate death.
Yeah.
But that was the only scene which you saw.
Well, there was brutality and torture in the prison scene.
Yeah, but there was no, as far as them being farmers, there was no evidence of them even eating meat.
Yeah,
they only showed them eating bread and vegetables. So
great film,
it was intentional.
Terrence Malick. He did The Tree of Life and
Days
of Heaven and The Thin Red Line. There was a Vietnam film that rivaled Apocalypse Now. But anyway,
we're going to get to our caller, and then we'll get back to this because we want to
yeah.
talk about the birth dates a little bit because the last audio didn't capture that. And hopefully you can hear us, 312, or you are on the air.
Hi, this is Karen from Chicago.
Hi, Karen.
Hello. I'm just wondering if you see a better 2021 for me, things moving along and, you know, work, maybe things picking up, just maybe 2021.
42777. And what's going on right now? Just give us a quick update.
Sure. I've been applying for full time jobs.
Did I get your birthday right? By the way, sorry.
No, it's 331.
No, 331771.
What?
That wasn't from memory. 331-71. It was me going back to notes because I did not remember your birthday. 331-71.
Okay.
I was thinking, that doesn't sound right to me as I reflected on it. 77 didn't ring a bell. Okay, so 71. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
Oh, sure. I kind of have been applying for full-time jobs now, staying away from the agencies because the agencies are just trying to undercut. They're just trying to take too much of a cut with the offers that they give out. So I've just kind of taken my hand and just kind of thrown my hat in the ring for some full-time jobs. But I haven't heard back from anything as of yet, but I have been applying a little bit more. So I'm wondering if you see maybe 2021 being a little bit more active, you know, just moving along maybe.
Well, you're actually going to be 50 years old?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, the interesting part of that, Karen, is that's the doubling of your karma. She's 25-7, right?
Yeah.
I did that right. So you're 25-7, and that is so 25 times 2 is 50. So that should mark a significant change for you. We want to make sure that change is positive,
okay.
Not, you know, that you're not stuck without employment. And you've been applying and unsuccessful.
Yes.
You haven't heard anything.
Right.
Have you contacted
right.
people? You contacted
yes.
an employer that you've applied
yes.
to?
Yes, they're through job boards. So the job boards keep reaching out to them. I keep asking questions, but I haven't heard anything. But so I'm more or less looking in the direction of full time work, not agencies. I'm trying to do my own head hunting.
Well, here's what I'm getting, and maybe it has a lot to do with the energy of positive vibration that we put out. Chris and I put out positive vibration. You know, ideally, this isn't about our ego. Ideally, we hope to feel so connected that we can produce an energy to fulfill people's desires and wishes. We're not genies or anything like that. I'm not saying that. And we're not,
right?
You know, but if we're doing a show and we're supposedly connected to spirits and stuff, and we ask for these things. It's like a prayer session.
Yes.
Maybe we can not just only see things, but we can actually promote the idea that something good is going to happen through energy. Now, having said that, I see something around October 10th or October 11th. That's the end of the week. So there might be something starting October 12th. Columbus Day, wherein you might be able to get
Indigenous Persons Day, I think now.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's been renamed in California.
Oh, Indigenous Persons Day.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, there was a lot of brutality.
Controversy
for Columbus. But that's what I'm getting now. Are you still seeking areas in transportation administrative work?
Yes. Yes, actually, that's one of the jobs was in construction. it was like a cement company, but like more like of a manufacturing company dealing with their permits and that sort of thing. But I didn't hear from them. But that would have been a good fit because they were right down the street from my house.
I remember we talked about there was two companies actually at the last time you called, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
One was
yeah,
at a charity with a. No.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. You're asking about 2021. I think, you know, this is going to be a tough year for everybody. So everybody, this isn't a personal thing with you. Everybody's affected. There are some people, remaining stable, and some people are at it on the advantage level. But most people are really struggling through this time, and things aren't going to get better immediately. But here's what I want to ask you. Now you think about this. Your relationship with your grandfather, I don't care which one. I want you to tell us in 30 seconds what your relationship with your grandfather was like.
One was very good. We were very good friends. He was always around helping our family. And then the other one lived kind of far away, but he was very nice. But I was kind of not very close to him as the other one I was with.
Okay, both good relationships, even though you weren't close
to
him. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Next question, whether it validates anything or not, we'll move on. But the name Ben, did you ever know anybody?
Yes, that's a friend I used to work with, yes, and he's a very good friend, yes.
That's good.
And that's still active friendship?
Yes, oh, yes, yes.
Okay, did you work with him in transportation or?
Yes, I did, yes. I was a manager, but he was a co-worker from another department, but very good friend, yes.
I see. So, Karen, the idea of this place being an ideal fit for you and being close by, that's a tribal situation. So reduce this to the element of it being a tribal relationship in the past. Now it's morphed into a company, and you're being kind of outside of the company but yet living nearby. It's like you're like the village, and then you're living on the outskirts. But it's a tribal thing. So there's a reconnection to your tribe. When we get Benjamin, that means that there's hope for you to get reconnected as a manager or administrator in the transportation department, and it's forthcoming. Because the theme of Benjamin brings us back to work, brings us back to a good relationship, and brings us back to your full employment. So the name hooks us into that theme. The grandfather element is again resorting back to a tribal situation, family. It was close, one's far away, one's close by. So your job was near and far. In other words, the job you applied for was right near for you, but you didn't get accepted, so it seems far away. We're going to reduce that element, and we're just going to say that your connection to your tribe, i.e. Department of Transportation, whatever it may be, is going to be now intact. And we're hoping for the month of October that is a lead-in for this actualized event.
Okay. And that makes sense in October, because I probably will be finished with my project I'm working from home during that time.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we had a caller that just dropped. What is going on? I hope people can hear us. Just real quick, Karen, I have a question for you. Is there any significant ring that you own? Any ring?
Oh,
sorry?
Yes, my college ring. Yes, I have two college rings, but one of them I wear all the time. Yes.
Okay, so that's another validation.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to work on this for you, and hopefully you will be successful in obtaining a job. Are you okay financially right now?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, I am working from my project from home, so that's bringing in some money.
Oh, do you live in a house or apartment? Where do you live
apartment.
In?
She lives in
apartment.
A building, because you're the one with the water problem. You had a problem with the plumbing or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have
yes.
a balcony? Yes. Do you have a balcony or a patio?
In the back porch. In the back. We have a back porch.
In the back porch. You don't have to do this, but I'm being told to tell you to feed the birds.
Oh, okay.
Does that work for you, or do you not like doing it?
There's birds. Funny you mention that. There's birds on my window ledge that are always trying to get into my apartment.
There's a spirit guide that's telling you and telling the birds that you're supposed to feed them. So give them a little bird. Get a little bird feeder. That's a message from spirit. Get a little bird feeder, because the birds were told that you're going to feed them.
What kind of birds do you know?
I think they're like little robins or sparrows.
Yeah.
So they'll eat seed. You want to make
they're
sure
going,
you get the right kind
they're
of
saying,
food.
They're saying, hey,
for
spirit.
The-
spirit,
birds.
Tell us, Karen. Spirit told us you're going to feed us. What, you know, when are you going to open up the restaurant?
No.
Yeah, the lady upstairs used to feed the birds. Used to put feeders out and stuff. So that
will
is
you
true.
Will you do that? Seriously? Will you do that somehow?
Sure. Sure.
Do that, Karen.
Okay. Okay. I'll do that.
Right.
Thank you so much. I'll let you guys know. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Okay. So we're back to our topic. We had someone come in and they just hung up. I don't know if people get impatient.
If someone comes in, they have to wait 10 seconds. They just say, oh, this is...
I don't know. Well, you know, sometimes people are at work and then they get, they're calling.
Yeah.
When they're not supposed to be.
The thing that's annoying is people who use these shows like fast food, I'm not getting what I want. Move on to the next show. I mean, come on. Show no respect.
Well,
that's the thing that annoys me. That just annoys me that people use spirit shows. They call, it's free, and they get annoyed if they don't hear what they want to hear, or they feel the psychic isn't, the person isn't connecting, and they hang up and they go on to the next one. I mean, the arrogance of these people is just incredible. You don't do that. It wears on your soul. Most of the people on Blog Talk are given free services, and respect that. It doesn't matter that you go on to another show. What matters is your attitude about it. That's what discredits you as a person. But anyways, maybe this person had something else to do. But we're getting back to the show, the movie, right?
Yeah. Where were we?
Well, we were talking about the slaughtering of the pig and the incidents of that.
Yeah, and the fact that it was a clear choice that the filmmaker made to not depict them as people killed animals.
Yeah, because they were very loving to their animals.
Very loving. She would brush them, caress them.
We are against the killing of farm animals. We are against any animal.
not just farm animals.
But when we're talking about farms and the chickens and the pigs, we're thoroughly against
that. That's why I was shocked. I couldn't watch the scene with the pig. I was like, ugh.
No. Farm sanctuary and different organizations that protect the animals, not to mention the wildlife.
Which is right now being horribly attacked by the terrible fires here. I mean, the wildlife is really affected. I mean, it's lost so many animal lives. Anyway, back to the movie. So, the birth dates. I guess we'll talk about the birth dates because he was guillotined. So, Franz Jägerstätter. I wanted to get that in.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Beautiful German pronunciation, or Austrian German. He was born 5/20/1907. So, very difficult karma because of that zero in the birth date. And his seven was broken up, but he has a seven in the year. And he is a 20. He was 24/6. 24. Actually, I didn't even think. So 1931, I don't know, he may have had a child at that time, but it was too early for the war, so the change didn't happen. It happened well before his decision to not pledge allegiance to Hitler. Anyway, what I found interesting when doing research is that he's in the process, he has not been canonized, but he was beatified. Mm-hmm. I think this happens like 2007 or something like that. So he has his own feast day, and his feast day happens to be the day he was baptized, which was the day he was a day old. So 5/21/1907, which kind of makes him an honorary seven because that is a 25/7. Interesting too, because 2/5 are his inverted first two numbers. What the recording missed is our conversation about his sacrifice and how he chose spirit over the earth. And I was talking about watching the movie and thinking about the fact that he left his family behind, and the fact that sometimes that even if someone dies by accident, that can produce karma because the life is left unfinished. But in this case, because he chose spirit above all and sacrificed his ego, which includes family, he transcended. He actually transcended. And it's so interesting, too, that his feast day becomes the seventh.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yes. You know, not all of us are called to be faced with such acts of faith and making these harsh decisions. We all have to make harsh decisions in life at times. But when it comes to a matter of life and death, and that's not to mention soldiers and firemen, people who sacrifice their lives for the sake of others, and incidentally, a strong I support critical analysis of calling those people losers and cowards, which some people in
You were ranting about Trump when the recording stopped. That was where it ended.
Well, I'm going to beat the lack of recording and now have it recorded. But that's a disgusting notion to call people who sacrifice their lives, even if they're captured, as John McCain, or whether they die for their country. You know, however it was misconstrued, whatever might have happened, but it does appear as though there was a reference that they're losers or cowards, and, you know, those people are not as distinguished as those that avoided capture or avoided death. You know, the idea that we lose the principles of human sacrifice, not acknowledging, I mean, when McCain died, Trump didn't want to put the flag at half mast, is my understanding. I mean, this is just absurd, because what it does is it puts a bad note on what the ego is, because whether the ego is to be arrogant or the ego is to be sacrifice oneself for one country or for another human being, it's still under the element of the ego, and the ego has a certain layer of energy peaked at that, which is you give your life for somebody else, which seems to be one of the epitomes of human action, even in biblical sense. So to defy that, for this man in office to say that he respects God and he's a Christian and he does all these things, and then to, on the other side of the coin, to ridicule, to defy what God has said is sacred, is a great contradiction, and only leads me personally to think that this guy bases his whole energy on his own self-ego. Now, I'm not to say that there aren't good things about him, there probably are, I don't know, but what is presented that comes out of his mouth is to me a kind of disgusting notion under the cloak that he calls himself a Christian, and he wants to keep and restore this country to its greatness. I don't know what he understands about greatness, but that's where the spiel comes in.
Yes, and we have a caller. So hopefully we'll be able to wrap this movie topic up today after the call. 919, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Kay.
Hi, Kay. How are you? Hi.
Good. I was actually just calling in. I didn't realize I put myself in queue, but thank you.
You didn't. Are you just listening? I mean, we can talk to you if you want, or you can just listen.
No, I definitely did. I did want to ask a question. I mean, things are been a little hectic in my life right now, and I've had some really weird dreams.
Nice.
And I'm sorry, you mean my birthday?
12/29/66. I'm just telling
yes,
you.
Yes.
Yeah, I looked it up. I didn't remember it. I'm sorry. I should
remember. Okay. No. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. You know?
Good. I've been having some really weird dreams, and I'm just trying to see what spirit is. It's one of the dreams I walked into what was a crime scene.
A what?
And couldn't, oh, a crime scene, someone that I, yeah. And I was in a position where I couldn't get myself out, and I ended up allowing myself to kind of get part of it and too scared to get out of it, but not sure how to get out of it. Then last night I had one that was, I felt like I was being held down. So I know there's something, and in the first dream, I kept waking up, and I said, wait for no more than a few seconds, but I would go back to sleep and just pick the same dream back up. And it's like, I know when that happens, there's some type of message. So I'm just trying to figure out what spirit is trying to prevent or help me avoid or so.
When you were tied down in the dream, did you, when you woke up, were you able to move freely, or were you still like, was there any like sleep paralysis that happened?
No. A couple of weeks ago, I remember there was a dream that I had, and my arm felt numb. And it was like I was waking myself up and trying to get feeling in my hand. So it felt like I was trapped. But last night's dream was more like, let's say, saran wrap, but had a haze over it. So I could see what I was trying to get to, this brightness. But I just kept fighting and kicking to get out of this like cocoon.
Yeah, well, here's what's happening, Kay, in my estimation. Oftentimes when we go into a dream, our astral bodies enter a past life. And so you went into a chapter of a past life where, not in this life, but in the past life where you probably committed a crime.
Whoa.
Not in this life. But we carry these dramas with us, and our soul, i.e. our astral bodies, when we enter the astral realm, we oftentimes revisit, because we have a split in time, we revisit those energies that we experienced in previous lifetimes. So that is what you're visiting, a scene from a past life
where
you probably committed a crime. Now, what happens, Kay, is what you got to turn it around and think in this lifetime, the things that have happened to you that have not been good, or the people you've been around that have not been good.
So, I mean, when in your month and day, you've got some 11s going on in the 29, obviously. And and 22, because there's two twos that are next to each other.
Okay.
So anything difficult, well, in your family life, upbringing, did you have any abuse?
Yes,
or?
My mother passed when I was a year old, and I was raised by my great grandmother, and that. A very critical age. At 13 is when I went to live with my father and two brothers, and it was difficult. I mean, that's just a hard time, and not a really great relationship. So with step family, and you know, just really, really hard, difficult time.
Okay, okay, got it. That validates. Let's move forward. Any relationship problems in love relationship where you felt abused or hurt?
Yes, a lot. Yeah. And I'm in one now. My partner, we get along. We're getting much, much better. But Sunday something happened. It was her best friend's little sister.
Oh, that's the one that interferes.
Respectful.
The one that interferes in your relationship?
Yes. And guess what? You guys helped me. I did a lot of the things that you said. And now she is so wonderful. We have a great relationship. I actually walked into the house and, you know, she was, you know, reaching to hug me because we have a good relationship, much, much better. But her little sister, my third time ever seeing her in 2 years, and she was disrespectful, and it just completely caught me off guard. It just caught me off guard. And so I have had a conversation with my partner. So, yes, I'm sure that's part of, yeah. So that was okay. On my mind. That's been on my mind since Sunday, yes.
Yeah, you know, to reduce yourself from the trauma of these dreams that you're having,
yes.
There's a couple of things you could do that might work.
Yes, that's what
one,
I'm thinking.
Well, one, before you go to bed, you know, when you're a kid, now I lay me down to sleep, pray to the Lord my soul.
Yes.
Well, you know what you do? What's the word? You code your soul that you want your soul to venture into areas that are only going to be progressive and positive. So you give your astral body a map where you'd like to go. Two, you consciously say to spirit guides, I'm sorry for all my transgressions. And I'm aware now that maybe in my soul I've committed them. And please forgive. Forgiveness is a great thing. When you're asked for it, you can be forgiven. So I would do that. Was there ever an incident that involved in your life? Now think this through. Was there ever an incident that involved a knife?
A knife?
Yeah. Anything with a knife. Just go through your mind.
Yeah, and that's so interesting. That's so interesting to say that because no, not in this lifetime. But one thing that I absolutely terrified of is I can't imagine stabbing someone. To me, that seems so, I don't know, just the whole thought
violent.
Of even thinking now. Yeah, it's just so violent. And just the thought of stabbing someone, it sickens me to even have this conversation right now because it's like, oh, my God. That knife, that metal against skin, it just, oh, my goodness.
So
I wonder
history.
Where that fear came from. Yes.
Well, this is where it came
validating.
From. Let's go back to the past life. There's a possibility you killed somebody by a knife. In that lifetime, you left that lifetime, and in the astral realm, your soul said, I will never do something like that again. How disgusting. I want forgiveness. And you came back to the planet as K, remembering in some form how disgusting that did. But in this lifetime, you have a reprieve. You're given a sanctuary. You're given a chance to redeem yourself. So whatever you can do to help people who have been wounded or
she
abused.
She does. That's where she works.
Where she works.
She's in social services.
Insurance? Yes, I do. Right. Wow.
Then you're
and you want to start your own business, right? That's where you're trying
yes,
to.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Oh, see, I wasn't aware. I didn't remember.
You didn't remember. So.
Wow.
So you're in the process through your work and whatever else you do outside of your job of redeeming yourself. But your whole life is dedicated essentially to helping people.
Yes.
This is so amazing. This is so amazing.
You're reducing your karma and you're adding now an attitude of good energy to replace that karma. And you're doing the work that you told spirits and guides that you would do before you came down here. Now you're doing it and you're reducing it. So those dreams are just the end. You're catching the end of the movie when you get caught and all this kind of thing. And that will soon be reduced and you won't have those problems anymore. You probably have a certain amount of time that you have to help people. But as that time of redemption draws nigh, you're going to feel things coming into your life that would be really positive and fulfilling.
Excellent. That is amazing. That it is so amazing how we are connected. Wow. That's all I can say. Because in the dream, I felt so miserable in helping that person cover a crime because I knew it was not right. But because I had gotten myself in a position where I did not do something at that moment, I felt, wow, okay, I'm too far in. And then that the good side of me, like, no, you need to do this. You need to do that. And I kept wrestling back and forth. And it was like, well, the person who committed a crime is the one that did it. You know, you're not at fault. But it was like, well, how can I prove that? This person might get life or death, but you might get 30 years. And I was, no, I can't spend 30. And this is what I was thinking, picking up this past. I can't spend 30 years for this that I didn't do. So to hear what you explain, it makes perfect sense now. Because I was trying to say, no, I can't live another life of imprisonment for something that I didn't do. And I even in the dream was like, you can kill yourself if you have to go to prison. I was like, no, I'm not killing myself. So thank you. Wow.
Yeah, hopefully that helps, Kay, and let us
it
know.
It does. It does. Thank you so much. It does. And I was hoping that you would give me that how to start it. So yes, something as simple as my prayer, that makes so much sense, but I got it. I appreciate you guys. Really
good. Thank you.
Okay. Well, take good care.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.
So
we have like 10 minutes left to, you know, I feel like we're summarizing what we talked about. It's not spontaneous. So I wish it was spontaneous. But
well,
not.
We're doing it. You know, we're catching up on what was spontaneous.
Yeah, I know, but it was, you know, a little bit more.
Why? What have we missed?
Well, I don't know. We've missed a little bit. I mean, we haven't really gotten to the full.
We talked about you mentioned the birth date.
The birth date, so her birth date. So her birth date, 3/4/1913. We talked about the fact that she, at the beginning, when he was, when he left for enlistment the final time, she didn't want him to leave. And during the time that he was in prison, she, I think, was trying to appeal to Nazi authorities to let him out, etc. But in the end, she supported his decision because she said, you know, do what's right. And she was the one who introduced him to, I think he was already Catholic, but got him more into the spiritual elements of life. She was very, very spiritually, I mean, not that religion is necessarily spiritual, but she was a devout Catholic. She actually took over his role as sacristan after he was killed in the church, ringing the bell.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you know,
but
the idea of the title, A Hidden Life, we all have to go inside and test where the value, where the true energy of our faith is, the true energy of our essence. And if we go inside and rationalize our principles so that we reduce our behavior to something that isn't as honorable as it could be, then that hidden life is there's a corrupt nature to it. But if we find out that what's hidden inside of us is as pure as what's outside of us, and obviously that's on an optimistic level of being humane, then that hidden life is that's what it is. It's an oxymoron. You know, a hidden life. Life can be hidden, but it's the content of that hidden life that I think that's most important, and what we have to really assess as to who we are as people. Are we as true inside of our life as we are on the outside? And that's where this man could not formulate a contradiction. He had to go into the hidden energy of his consciousness and make sure that was uniform with the principles that he obviously was upholding.
Yeah. And so, you know, we talked about how he was urged by the lawyer and by the priest, which, because he consulted clergy numerous times about this. And in the final scene, the lawyer and the priest were saying, don't do it, as we said before. But the fact is, had he signed that paper, he would not have transcended, especially with the zero. Right. He wouldn't have. As for her, she was born 3/4/1913. She was 30 equals 3. And he was killed 8/9/1943. which becomes a 34/7. We're back to her month and day again in both the year and the karmic master number of the day he died. So I, you know, as far as what she did with the rest of her life, I don't know all the details, but you know, she made a great sacrifice as well in letting him go.
You know, it's the one of the most despairing notes is that soulmates don't always go out together. Soulmates, the bond can be very strong, but unfortunately, it doesn't mean that they're going to go out together. And soulmates can lose their soulmate, so to speak, in the physical realm and have to live on, because what that amounts to is that the karmas are different. The soulmates that remain intact, but the karma of the individuals may be different in terms of the sentence that they have to serve on the planet or the decisions they have to make that cause separation. But one thing that can't be broken is that even upon death, even upon resurrection, there's still that connection and that promise that I think has been provided for, even in biblical sense, even in the idea of God separating himself, whether it be from an individual or from a race or from a religion, wandering 40 years in the desert or hanging on to the cross longer than what was expected. We're all under the same canopy as human beings in terms of how our test is tested.
Right, and how it's evaluated and what the test is for each individual. It's different. You know, some people might say, gosh, I would have loved the opportunity to transcend and only endure 4 months of torture under the Nazis.
Right.
You know, I mean, sometimes it's more difficult. Sometimes a person has to go through many, 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 many lifetimes.
Many lifetimes.
Who knows, though, how many lifetimes this guy went through prior to
But we shouldn't underestimate this canopy of human experience, whether it's Christ suffering on the cross or the Jews suffering in the concentration camps. The idea is that the apex of this, the pinnacle of this is faith. And those are the acts that I think are most important in line of any kind of diversity or tragedy or torture or death that may occur. So we all have to look at the value of how we are placed on the earth and what is the intensity of our faith and how willing are we to make sacrifices for it. I think that's of paramount importance. And so the movie The Hidden Life is just a small example.
And the reason it was called A Hidden Life, aside from your observations, is the fact that he was not really, I mean, he was acknowledged and then much, much, much later acknowledged. They removed his conviction, his record of being convicted for treason or whatever. So all these things happened later. There was a book published with their letters. The narrative movie is actually, there's a little dialogue, as we stated in the last, I don't know if we got that in 22 minutes because I didn't listen to the whole recording, but the movie is interspersed with excerpts of their letters to one another when he was imprisoned.
You know, it's funny.
And that was published in a book.
Backpacking in Europe when I was younger, there was a reference that the Austrians didn't feel that Germany really were hard enough on the Jews. And so there was this approach to entering Austria that, my God, what can one experience here? But
wait, Germany, but Austria wasn't hard enough.
Yeah, the Austrians felt that Germany wasn't hard enough on the Jews.
Are you kidding me?
I heard that. Now, I've heard that from historical references and things like this, but I don't want to stop there. I don't want to stop there. When I was in Austria, the most loving, giving people I experienced in all of Europe were in Austria. Austria and Switzerland. And now Switzerland's having an ultra-right dilemma going on. but and they're supposed to be neutral, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's the individuals, I feel, that that make up a country, not the country itself.
Well, I don't know. You know, as far as the villagers in this movie were represented, the majority of them were Nazi sympathizers. I don't know. But I'm glad you had that experience. Anyway, we're at the end of the show. We're at the end of the show and the end of the week, actually. And we will be back on the air on our normal day, Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to our callers and listeners. And we will speak with you next week. Thank you.